Welcome to our Friday episode of Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm asleep, but I'm Jake.
Oh no, Jake's asleep.
I know. We've been keeping him up too late, but the,
oh, Jake, the craziness. But it's the middle of the morning right now while we're recording this.
It's 6 a.m.
Why are you so sleepy?
I have a one-year-old.
Oh, I remember those days.
Yeah, I don't miss that for anything.
No, I don't miss that at all. Mine's 10 now, and I'm happy. Or 11 by the time we air this. So
mine's 9 now, and the other one will be 14 by the time this airs.
Wow.
So, yes, the sleepy days are behind me, but
they're still young.
But welcome to our Friday episode. We're not sleepy today. We are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're getting to talk about the speed train.
The train.
This is Minute 90. Minute 90 begins with our first shot of the speed train and ends with Max pulling something from under her seat on the speed train.
Also speed kicks train. In with some awesome Danny Elfman music.
You know what? This music, just like in the last couple of minutes, was kind of the love theme from Mission Impossible, even though there is absolutely no chemistry for the people that are supposed to be in love. This scene just ratchets it up with the Danny Elfman score. And to me, it sounds like the Batman 89 soundtrack, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's
very, very classic Elfman sound from the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, I remember when we were in college, I used this specific piece for one of the short films that I did. So I know it all very well.
Yeah, it's a great piece of music. Yeah. It's a lot of drums and brass. And we get this pretty amazing shot, a slow zoom into a half-closed window, and we see a man wearing a trench coat. And that's a CG shot because the shot from outside on the train's not real. And then they fly right into a very specific window. Nowadays, they do this all the time.
Yeah,
but in 96, it's actually really seamless.
Yeah.
Usually there's some clip where you notice where they go from digital to practical shot.
Yeah,
it's really hard to tell in this shot.
Yeah, it is. Because obviously the close shot of the window as they push in is real, but with the CG added on to the window reflection. But the shot of the train as they come into it, that's completely CG.
Yeah, and it doesn't look...
At least the train is. The train is.
It doesn't look that fake. I mean,
no, it doesn't. I watched that on the screen the other night, and it did look a little awkward, but not as bad as some of the effects of that time. I mean, it's held up pretty well.
It's like a nice digital zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a helicopter shot, but different.
And the first thing we see is there's someone in a trench coat, and they have a boombox. And they're dismantling that boombox. I don't know why.
I had my son go, "Daddy, what is that?" When he watched it with me.
Well, sure.
He's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "That's a boombox." He's like, "What's a boombox?"
I go, it's like what you listen to the radio
on. Like a big iPhone. He's like, "Oh, you can listen. You can watch your phone on it or talk to people." I go, "No, no, no. It just played CDs, and you can listen to the radio." Oh, that doesn't sound like fun.
And I have to carry it around, and it weighs 80 pounds? Yeah. This is, what a terrible...
How do you change music on it? You have to bring a CD of different types of music with it, or a mix CD?
All right, raise your hand if you had a boombox.
Oh, yeah.
I'm raising my hand.
Yep.
Jake, did you have one?
Yep.
So I wonder, what year do you think that boomboxes and... I mean, because car stereos still to this day have CD players, and people grudgingly will play CDs on them. When do you think the boombox finally died?
Well, where I'm at in Houston, it's still alive. So, you know.
Really?
Yes. And that band has a certain someone who does the music for Mission Impossible 2 on as keyboards, Mr. Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
The Boogles.
So you're saying that you can still buy boomboxes?
Oh, yeah. Here in Spring, Texas, and outside of Houston, you can still
buy. What do they do? I mean, are they just CD players?
They're CD, and they do. They connect Bluetooth-wise to your phone or your MP3 player.
What about Sirius? At one point, don't make fun of me.
No, no, no.
I had a Sirius before they were together, so it would have been an XM. I had an XM boombox.
Yeah, I actually saw one of those at cons or something like that the other day. Yeah.
So it was you still had to plug it in.
Yeah.
Or you had to put massive amounts of batteries in it.
Yep, exactly.
It took like 8D batteries. And it worked for like 5 hours.
I've seen them that they have them now that they're not, it's like a big boombox, but it doesn't have like anything but maybe a CD player in it and a Bluetooth connection.
So you said 8D batteries. That's a lot of batteries. That's like more than 79. Well, like, well, when they zoom in on that one guy dismantling the radio, he looked like most younger people don't wear trench coats. And if you look at the dude's hand, they look old. So, like, was no one just, like, weirded out that this old dude carrying a boombox getting on a train?
An old American dude walking onto a train with a boombox in France. Or in England, I guess, would have been where he got on the train.
Yeah. And no one noticed this?
And then we see Max again.
Yes. In a very lovely shade of blue.
Oh, yeah. Vanessa Redgrave again.
Vanessa Redgrave.
She's the best. We love her.
Well, like, if you look at her necklace, I swear, it looks like a certain diamond-shaped pendant with a certain letter of the alphabet in the shape of an S on it.
It's foreshadowing for the next Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah. That was just to tell us that Henry Cavill would someday be in the movie.
The super sash is coming.
It all makes sense.
Yeah, she's dressed to the nines. She's with her manservant, friend, assistant, Mathis. You know what's interesting? I don't see Frankenstein in this.
No, I don't think Frankenstein was invited. I think he got fired, maybe. Oh, he shows up later in the franchise, but he's working for somebody else at that point.
Yeah, I miss Frankenstein.
I did too.
While Frankenstein's gone, Max gets a phone call from Ethan. And Mathis pulls out this, that inside interior of that really nice briefcase. Mm-hmm. And it's all perfectly formed to the exact things that he has in that briefcase. Yeah. So that means that's not made out of like foam. That is custom formed to his items and tools that are in that briefcase.
Yes.
How do you facilitate something like that? Do you have to give them your stuff? Items? Yeah. You have to be like, well, this is the phone we're going to be using, and this is the laptop we'll be using, and then we have this other thing over here on the right. And then they have to form vacuum seal it to fit it perfectly. I mean, when he has to use two hands to get that phone out of its little nook, that kind of negates the purpose of the box. But I remember briefcases at that time. People liked having their stuff in there tight.
Yeah, they didn't want it to fall out or get hurt if they dropped the case or anything like that. And I guess that's what they're going with here. So that way they didn't break the computer.
They pulls out an actual cell phone.
Yeah.
We were talking about this yesterday. Well, how many scenes would be changed with just having a cell phone? Well, we have one finally. And this cell phone is on one end. It's Ethan. He's talking and he says he wants to talk to Max and hands it over to Max. Max is unhappy with the situation. Max is saying that this is not what she expected. Didn't expect to be on this train. And Ethan says it's unavoidable and says underneath her seat is the knock list. So Max finally has the real knock list, and it's not on a bloody 3.5-inch disc.
Do you know what knock stands for?
Yes. All right, let's move on.
What does it stand for?
We talked about it so
long ago.
Non-official cover list.
Cover list. Okay.
It's for all the deep cover agents in Europe.
Yeah, I Googled that, and that's what it came up with. I just want to know if you guys actually discussed it, because you never...
We did.
It's just one of those...
That's why I wasn't going to explain it.
Well, I'm glad I made you do that thing.
My email is knockfilms, which is even funnier.
You just gave out your email on this podcast.
Knockfilms@gmail.com. Feel free to give me an email.
I guess. Send him a bloody email.
Yep.
Blame him for everything that's wrong with the podcast.
Yes, please do. Go ahead. And I will.
Yeah, please don't send that to me.
I'll send him to Jonathan.
No, don't forward that crap to me.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. All right, so let's keep talking.
Jonathan's so excited.
I'm excited because this is the end of the movie. That doesn't sound right, but what I'm saying is I am excited about this entire...
The finale is about to start. Yes.
There's a lot of stuff going on, and one of the moving parts of this scene is that Mathis and I keep calling him Mathis. His name is Mathis, right?
I don't know. I thought Mathis was in a Bond movie, but
her assistant and Max and her assistant, their entire job for the rest of this movie is trying to upload this knock list out, I guess, into somewhere to, for the bidders to bid on it. Because she's a arms dealer, so she's selling this, obviously. And so I love that it's very simple. It's just right under your seat.
It's been there all along.
I think it would have been more. It would have been cooler if someone had walked by and handed her an envelope.
Well, like I say, it's almost like an Oprah moment. You get a CD under your chair. You get a CD under your chair.
It's not a CD. It's a 3.5-inch floppy disk.
Well, my question is this. If they have this, couldn't they just make another fake list and, like, no one would be the wiser?
I don't know if they had the time to go through that. I mean, is it an Excel spreadsheet? If it's just like, if that's all it is, then maybe, yeah, sure.
Well, you know, I mean, later on in the series, you know, Ethan's able to memorize an entire list of
okay, you're right.
Things. So he could have memorized the entire knock list and said, I'm the knock list. You can't do it without me. But that's another
movie. He just
movie.
Stands there with a gun to his own head and yeah. He's just like, what are you going to do?
That's Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. So we'll get to that later.
What you going to do about it, punk?
What do you do?
You can't. Well, yeah, that we hadn't gotten to the point of Ethan being a superhuman yet.
We can memorize everything in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, he's still a normal guy.
He's a normal spy.
We don't see the rest of the team, but I assume they're there.
Yeah.
The only person we've seen is, I think we're supposed to infer that the old man with the ghetto blaster is Ethan. That's what the movie's trying to tell us. We know a little better because we're smart and observant and have seen this before.
Well, yeah, like those hands don't match up to Ethan's.
Yeah, but he could have the masks and stuff.
He
on.
Could be wearing old man hands like Chris wanted hand masks at one point.
Yep.
You mean gloves?
So he could have. No, that's silly. These are hand masks.
That's
different.
They're like gloves.
Hand masks.
They're the exact same hands as the other person, but you put them on.
Yeah, and they've got like their fingerprints on their hand masks.
Their hand masks. Exactly.
What else would you call them? Gloves. Come on.
Skin gloves.
Skin gloves.
Yeah. No, hand masks.
If you don't fit, you must acquit.
Hey, yeah, so I didn't murder my wife, okay?
So we haven't seen any of the team, but I'm hoping in the next minutes, next week, we'll start to get this ramped up.
Yeah.
I'm excited for these minutes. This is where the action comes back to it, to how it was at the beginning of the movie and then in the white room. There are really only three scenes in this movie that are action. And when you think about that now, you're like,
what?
You're like, that's all they did in this movie? When you go back and break it down, it really is only four giant set pieces.
Yeah.
The aquarium restaurant, the embassy at the beginning, the white room,
and then this. Yeah.
They're really only four giant set pieces.
Now,
in this movie.
This sequence is over 30, 40 minutes of the movie. I mean, it's like 30 minutes of the movie, basically, is this last sequence.
Yeah, it's true. We're going to, because it goes up until almost the, I checked the minutes, and it's almost minute 106.
Yeah.
Is when this scene ends.
So we're like, we got 26, 27 minutes. Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty great.
It is amazing. I mean, it was and still is an impressively well put together action sequence and a great finale of a movie. I mean, I think it was really a combination of that white room and this sequence that made this movie the hit that it is. I mean,
and then we gave it staying power because they did all this on a green screen.
Yeah.
And whereas everything else in the movie was almost all practical, there were some little things added, but most of it was practically done. And this is a huge, big budget green screen set piece, which in 96, other than Star Wars movies.
I mean, there weren't Star Wars movies at that point.
Yeah, but they were starting to,
This was like a test for ILM because ILM was really pushing the boundaries on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they did a great job.
Yeah, I do too. Because I mean, there's a lot of moments throughout this sequence, especially when they're on the top of the train. Well, I don't even think of the fact that it's a green screen scene. It looks pretty real.
Yeah, I don't think if this scene hadn't worked well, I don't think we'd have gotten the on top of the train from Speed.
Speed came before this by 2 years.
Yeah?
Yeah, 2 years.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because that scene looks really good, too, on top of the train.
Yeah, that was rear projection, though.
Oh. Well, yeah. I'm taller.
Exactly.
That scene won't be said. That won't be said in this movie.
No.
Tom Cruise will be like, "I'm smaller."
Now we get red light, green light.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Spoilers.
Yeah,
save it.
I played that as a kid.
Oh yeah, red light, green light. You took some gum and threw it on somebody, and then jumped.
Yep.
That's a weird game.
That is. A weird
it is.
Game.
But you just got to make sure that you count out how when you put that gum together, because if you don't do it at the right time and move fast, bad things happen.
Mm-hmm. Or an arm, or a whole body. Ask the lasagna, don't get any on you.
You know, I said that the other night to my kids.
What did they say?
They looked at me like I was crazy.
But you got to make sure you don't.
I was just saying goodbye to them. I was like, ask the lasagna, don't get any on you.
And they're like, Dad, you're such a dad.
Such a dork dad. And this minute winds down with Max searching underneath the chair and pulling something. We don't actually see what she's pulling out from underneath it, but we know now she's in possession of the knock list.
Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, dun, dun. And this is a great segue into...
The book?
No. No, I wish. Again, the book has nothing. The book got really quiet when it came to the action scenes. But anytime there's like a lull and nothing going on is when it goes crazy.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, it's a great time for Tech of the App.
I like the train.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Tech of the App, the train.
Well, thanks for being on, Jake.
Actually, I also like that boombox, which is slowly being disassembled into a gun.
Yeah, we're going to see more of that boombox next week, but you can still, of course, vote for it, because we know the potential. It's going to be, it's a Transformer-style boombox.
No disassemble, Johnny.
That turns into a gun.
It's very deceptive.
That is a very cool, it's very Decepticon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No Autobot would have a gun boombox. No. It's very cool. The train also, I'm a big fan of the train because it's a set piece for the rest of this movie, Even though it's all fake. Chris, what about you?
I like the briefcase. The briefcase was going to be my suggestion.
Yeah, I really like that briefcase.
Yeah, briefcases are pretty awesome.
It is slick. I mean, I know it's not tech in that, but it houses all the tech.
Yeah.
And but with its four...
Mike! I'm tired, sorry.
What are you doing?
My arms are flailing about. As independent from my body.
You shouldn't even be moving your arms.
Giant inflatable flailing arm man.
I'm tired, man. It's been a long week.
I know.
And it's Monday.
We're so close. We're so close. I agree. That case is awesome with its custom interior.
Yeah.
And it's like this felt. This get camel colored again.
Yeah, camel color.
The 90s, everything loved camel.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like this felt and the phone, the cool Nokia phone is in there. And this was right when, speaking of phones, this is right when phones were starting, the cellular phones were starting to get away from that dangly, you know, little antenna up at the top, and they were going to the little hard nubbin antenna.
Nubbin.
For lack of a better, you know, it still had like an indentation, like it was an antenna, but you didn't have to pull anything out anymore. And it wasn't just like, just kind of like waving in the wind. Like some of the earlier models. So I like this. This is one of my favorite cell phones. When you see this cell phone, you're like, yeah, 96. Good times. You know, Mathis probably had some sort of little belt holder for that phone to go into. We can only infer the electronics he has in his desk briefcase right now. But later on, we'll find out that's a laptop. And it's a really cool little like one of those little personal laptop notebook things before iPads.
So yeah, I'm going with that briefcase.
That's good. Now, Jake, is something we call tech of the episode, tech of the week. And tech of the week is when we pick something from the entire week and we just choose which one we think was the best tech that sums up this entire week.
It's not John Voight's hair plugs.
Nope.
It's not the old computer.
Nope.
I like the choo-choo train, and I like the briefcase, but I don't think it's cool. I still got to go with the watch.
Really? Going back for the watch?
Mm-hmm. I'm a watch guy. Okay.
That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
I think it's great. And also, since you didn't get any watch minutes, you actually got a watch minute without it actually showing. you got a vaguely watch minute. What about you, Chris? What's your tech of the week?
I'm torn between the watch and the train, honestly.
You choose me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the train because, I mean, that's a great shot going into the train. It's a great introduction of the train. And for something that we're going to spend the next 30 minutes almost with, it's definitely the coolest thing that we're going to see that we've seen this week and will be seeing for the next couple weeks.
I'll give it to you. The choo-choo is the – I like the choo-choo a lot. And knowing it's – I don't – we can't have it the tech of the week for the next 5 weeks, but that's a little unfair. So I'm going to go with the briefcase as my tech of the week. I like things. You guys have seen my screen, some of my shots that I take and I put on a Minute Impossible page. I like a screen that is organized. I like everything in its right place. And I would have loved, no matter how impractical it was to have something like that, I would have loved to have had a briefcase like that. It's super impractical. The second you buy a new phone, that briefcase is useless.
Second buy a new computer, it's useless too.
Second you buy three pencils, it's useless because I don't know if it actually has space for those.
You just got to go back to your briefcase guy and he'll make you a new mold.
My briefcase guy. It's like they're like the guys who make the WeatherTech for your car. They'll vacuum seal anything and make it into the right shape. Yeah. So yeah, that's three completely unique techs for the tech of the week. And the good thing is, on tech of the week, we don't have to decide what the best thing is.
We can all be
winners
because it's the watch.
We can all be winners except for Jake.
Yeah.
Well, I do live
in
a basement.
Go get your burlap sack, Jake.
Dang it.
Everyone says that, Jake. No one leaves.
Coming back.
Well, Jake, we really appreciate you coming on this week. I'm sorry that you had to stay in our closet the entire week, and that burlap sack could not have felt good on your skin. So what I'm going to do is let you do some plugs and also give you some lotion that I have over here in the corner. Feel free to lube up and then also tell us about yourself.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
And promote anything you'd like.
Don't you hurt my dog.
No, I am from the Dark Knight Minute, where we
analyze the Darth Knife.
Yes, one minute at a time, with my co-host Adam the Creator, and one Darth Lark, and then a smidgen of guests who love Batman and like to talk about Batman, because he's basically a spy, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ethan, we've said before, I've said Batman. Ethan is Batman in this movie because he figures out everything and starts to anticipate. So
follow us on Twitter at The Dark Knight Min. We have a League of Listeners page on the Facebook. And we also have our website, geekmindfusion.com, where you can find all our podcasting episodes and amongst other things that we're up to. Come down our rabbit hole of Geek Mind Fusion and see what we're up to, because we're always doing something fun.
Yeah, and their content's great, guys. So you should definitely go watch some of the stuff they do on Facebook. Just recently, I watched them drink the green energy drink that they had from that Bruce Wayne drinks. you weren't in that one, were you?
I was in that one.
Were you in that one?
Yeah, there's Jake and then there's Jacob. I am Jake. Jacob is Adam and Luke's brother, who was not on there. I was the one on there that didn't get all the way through. I got about two mouthfuls of that in me, and then I gagged because it was really thick. And
the scum. You want good content, good hard-hitting content like that, where they drink the gross drink from the movie. Well, that's great, Jake. I'm so glad you came on today. We had a great time. Thanks again for being here all week.
I was going to say, I didn't have much of a choice.
Nope. You didn't, but thank you for making the best of it. If you'd like to talk to us in our basement, you can join us on the Facebook group at the Impossible Minute Force, where our basement is always clean and we always have sleeping bags for all of our guests.
Always made of
also top. We've also got a juicer.
We also have a juicer.
But it's only juicing kale.
And you can also join us on Twitter, talk about us, or share our story. How, what do you do on Twitter? You can
tweet us.
You can tweet at us on Twitter. That sounds terrible. Join us on Twitter at Min Impossible, M-I-N Impossible. And until next week, goodbye, Jake. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
And I'm Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye. This minute will self-destruct.